Let us pray. Shepherding God, you guide us through many trials in this life, calling us to something promised beyond. Help us to hear your voice more clearly, to trust in the way that you have laid before us, even when that way is difficult. Remind us again that through it all, you are beside us, that we are never alone. Amen. So last week, many of us gathered around communion tables. Fresh in our minds was the call of God to Moses to be a leader to the then enslaved people of Israel. We saw the burning bush. We heard the voice of God proclaim, "I am who I am." Though he was hesitant, Moses took up this call, with God as his guide and his brother Aaron as his speaker. He went to Pharaoh and pleaded for the release of God's people from bondage. We didn't hear that story, nor did we hear how hardened Pharaoh's heart had become, how obstinate he was towards Moses, or how very vehemently he refused to give in to the request of Moses and the command of God that came through him. We also skip over the story of the plagues that ravaged the Egyptians, culminating in the death of the Egyptian children, a plague that mirrored Pharaoh's own culling of the Hebrew people for fear that they would rise up against him in great numbers. We also don't hear of the harrowing escape from Egypt when Pharaoh relents but then chases down Moses and the people of Israel to punish them. Or how Moses, with the power of God working through him, parted the Red Sea to give the Israelites their final escape. We didn't hear these stories. And instead, we find ourselves in the midst of a roaming people. The house of Jacob, journeying through the desert to a land that was promised them. I wanted to give you Cole's notes on what happened in between Moses' call and where we are today, because stories shape people. Whether they are individuals or communities, our stories tell us where we're from, how we got where we are, and give us an idea of where we might be headed, influenced as we are by these stories. So here we are, people fresh from a life of slavery, following a God that they'd only recently come to know again. They're on a path to a land that they can't even imagine, because living under the boot of the Egyptians was all that they knew. I'm always amazed by the trust that people have for God in these stories. Abraham, long ago, long before this story, Abraham followed God even to the altar on which lay his son, trusting wholeheartedly that God would not lead him astray. Abraham trusted. Jacob, who would later come to be known as Israel, follows God's call to return to his homeland, even though he knew that an angry brother surely waited for him there. And these, the people of Israel in our story today, follow God on the word of Moses out of a life that was, while terrible, all they knew, to a road filled with unknowns. Little did they know that the journey would be much farther than just across the Red Sea, and little did they know that it would be a much longer journey than a few weeks or a few months or even a few years. 40 years lay before them. These are the people that we greet today. But rather than find a group of people eagerly following God through whatever comes their way, we instead enter into the sounds of grumbling and complaining. Now, to be fair, the whole household of Israel is hungry. They left not knowing what lay before them, and they are roaming through a desolate place where food is scarce. So maybe some grumbling and some complaining is acceptable. But the people aren't just saying that they're hungry. They are accusing Moses of taking them out to the wilderness to kill them by hunger. They're even wishing that they'd never left their lives as slaves, because at least in slavery they had bread. Can you imagine for a minute what that's like? That things are so bad that you start to wish that you were a slave. It's hard for us to imagine that mindset because we don't have that past. But the truth is that our own hunger, my own hunger, is one thing. But the hunger of my child is something else entirely. I have to imagine that the Israelites looked upon their children and were torn inside. On the one hand, they are free, but if we were slaves, at least we'd have food. But all that said, sure, they're hungry, sure, they're walking for a long time, and sure, their kids are starving. But where's the trust? Just a short time ago, they followed Moses through a parted Red Sea. Surely they trust that God will watch out for them in something so trivial as hunger. And God did. As the story goes, as was offered to the children, as was offered by Julian, God provided something. It was food, transformed from dew in the morning. Food that the people came to call manna. Each morning the dew would turn to this manna, and the people would go according to their need and gather what they had, what they could. We pray every week, some of us several times a day, for God to provide us with our daily bread. In a very real, belly-filling kind of way, God lives into that prayer for the people of Israel in our reading. Now, it's easy to say that because the people grumbled and complained, God responded. But who's to say that the dew on that same morning wouldn't have transformed into exactly the same way had the people trusted? Had they trusted in where God was leading them through Moses? So what do we learn from the people of Israel in this particular instance where trust is lacking? Because over 40 years, there's lots of times where the God that they trust so much is set aside for something else. I want to say that we need to trust where God is calling us. I want to say that, to not grumble, to not complain. But that's not really helpful. You've heard that before. You've heard don't grumble. Generations of faithful people have heard that before, and yet we are a people so prone to grumbling and complaining. So maybe that's not helpful, to just trust God, although do that. Let's hear that God isn't ignoring us. God is with us and works through the world's systems to guide and to inspire us. So we're not alone. Hear that. That's important. God was with the people of Israel as they roamed the desert, wishing for relief, for the relief of slavery in the face of God's providence. God was with them through all of that, and so God is with us, ever present, even when we grumble, even when we complain. More than the continued presence of God, though, we should also hear that God answers prayers in often unexpected ways. I mentioned earlier that God fulfilled the request for food in the form of manna. What's manna? It said in the reading that it was like frost on the ground, flaky and enough to eat. Some translations say that manna simply means a portion of unexpected food. That's pretty straightforward. And it's really good because it has that unexpected bit in there. So God fulfills in unexpected ways. Unexpected food, it works. But other scholars suggest that the root of the word manna is mon, and that comes from Egypt. Does anybody know what mon means? What? What is what mon means? So the people woke up in the morning, the dew had just lifted, and there is bread, and what did they say? What is it? They look at the ground. What is it? We're supposed to eat that? What? So the people of Israel woke up and saw the blessing before them and looked at one another and said, what is it? In the same way, God heard the people of the first century BC crying out for a leader, someone to oust Roman occupiers and make Israel great again. But instead of a warrior or a general, God sent bread that sustains our spiritual bodies. God, just as the manna gave strength to the physical bodies of the people of Israel as they wandered through the desert. Instead of a king, God sent an infant born far from riches and privilege, just as the Israelites looked on the dew-turned bread and said, what is this? The people of the world turn on this newborn child and say, what child is this? And God continues to answer our prayers in unexpected ways. In our own lives, we see this. Sometimes we pray for strength. Maybe a lot of the time we pray for strength. Only to come across someone just as broken as we are. Someone who needs us just as much as we need them. And through our mutual care, we find strength together as we support one another. Not what I asked for, God, but thanks. There's also times where we feel so lost on the road to where we're going that we call out to God for guidance. And rather than opening the road to where we want to go, God leads us to where we need to be. Not what I asked for, but thanks. And just like the people of Israel in our reading today, wishing that they could go back to a life of slavery just for the bread, we often yearn for what is past, for what is familiar. And yet, in our prayers for what was, God calls us to what might yet be, continually calls us to the future, to the unknown, to the mystery, but promises us that God will be with us on that road, wherever it goes. Ultimately, today, maybe more than any day, it's important to be grateful for the assurance of that continued presence, that God is always there, even when we feel most alone and lost. When we grumble, when we complain about what we don't have, we often forget to be grateful for what we do, the things that we take for granted. We look around here today, just in this space, and we see all of the people that God brought into our lives. Maybe we've known them for years, or maybe they're fresh faces. Some of these people support us in our lives. Others challenge us as we go. Some provide us wisdom and guidance, while others ask us hard questions about where we think we're going, encouraging us to go deeper in our faith. Some we love because Christ calls us to, and because our hearts leap at the chance to do so. Some we love because Christ calls us to, and because they are with us on this journey together in faith. We might disagree, we might fight, we might just rub each other the wrong way all the time, and yet we are on this road together. We walk as a family, the body of Christ in this place, trusting in God who guides us and trusting in each other as we find the way, get lost, find the way again, all together. So let's give thanks this day for the blessings that we have in this life, both those that we've longed for and those that we've unexpectedly received and yet still enrich us. Let us give thanks for the stories that have brought us here, the good and the bad, all past, but are a part of who we are today. Stories of where we were that can inspire us to where we go. Let us give thanks for the bread that nurtures our bodies and our souls. And let us give thanks for one another, companions on this road of life and faith. And yes, let's trust in God, Let's trust that even though the church might not be where we expected it to be, that we are on the road to where God is calling us to. Thanks be to God.